Thanks to all of you who are afraid of public speaking but stepped up and faced your fears very well. Catherine, I especially appreciated your reflection on what it was like to sign the membership book and what it was like to become a member and say yes. Because I still remember my installation ceremony. I remember the day that I stood with my friends at the First Unitarian Church in Baltimore. It was way back in the early 1990s, but I still remember that day. Those people that I stood with were my friends. They were the first friends that I had in church because we went through orientation class together and we served meals to the homeless together. We went to each other's weddings and we grieved our losses together. And I also remember on that day our minister telling us that we had entered into a covenant. By signing the membership book, we had inherited a covenant. Now, I had never really heard of that word. I had never used it in a sentence, certainly. I had no idea what our minister was talking about. But over the years, I did come to learn that covenant, more specifically a congregational covenant, was an essential foundation for the liberal faith, the faith of the free church. Now, these days, I've been thinking about the future of our free faith, the free church. You know, I know that you also know that churches are fading. Religious institutions are fading, and churches are closing its doors. Adults are finding, especially young adults, are finding other ways to find deeper meaning in their lives. The religious landscape is shifting right under our feet. And so I'm wondering, will the covenants that we have inherited keep us strong? Will they still be relevant? Or will our need for covenant drop away as we find new ways of being spiritual together? So the word covenant, it's very simple. It just means to gather together by making promises, to come together by making a promise. As in the marriage covenant, which is an act of free choice where two parties make a promise, a binding promise to each other. Covenant, as we're talking about here, is not a legal contract that tries to control the behavior of another person. There is no punishment for violating the covenant. Covenant expresses our desire to be the kind of community we want to be. So who we are as members of a free church, we are the picture of the free church, and this is the picture of what this community looks like. This is a vision that is very, very old. In fact, we can trace this vision all the way back to 1550, the year 1550, when Robert Brown proposed a revolution in church life. My teacher, the Reverend Dr. Rebecca Parker, told this story at a General Assembly many, many years ago. And she said that Robert Brown held up this vision that churches should come into being as a covenant among persons and not through common assent to a doctrine or through sacraments administered by priestly hierarchies or something that's apostolically descended. Instead, people should join themselves together by a mutual agreement to walk together, to keep the commandments, to choose their own ministers and teachers, to put forth and debate, to learn the truth, and to welcome the voice of protest, complaint, and dissent. Now, a certain group of people at that time were listening very carefully, and they were so inspired by these ideas that they separated from the Church of England. They fled to Holland. And then, about 100 of them decided to sail to America. They landed in the year 1620 in Plymouth, Massachusetts. And this congregation, the First Parish Plymouth, is the oldest congregation in our Unitarian Universalist Association. The Pilgrims had a free church, separate from the state, separate from church hierarchy, and governed by the people of the congregation. And we have inherited this way of doing church. We have no bishop. We have no central authority. And even I, as the minister, have only as much authority as you are willing to give to me. The words we heard earlier as our chalice lighting is a modern update of the Pilgrim's Covenant. It says, "We pledge to walk together. We pledge to walk together in the ways of truth and affection, as best we know it now or may learn them in the days to come, that we and our children may be fulfilled, and that we may speak to the world in words and actions of peace and goodwill." We pledge to walk together. We promise to communicate honestly and openly. We covenant to affirm the inherent worth and dignity of all people. Now, at first glance, it may seem that all we're doing here is exercising our individual free choice to agree to speak these words in public. It's all about me and what I choose to do, right? But actually, the act of speaking these words is just an outward acknowledgement of what is already true, what already exists. We aren't so much creating covenant, creating new covenants, as we are stepping into an existing covenant, into existing relationships. These covenants express what is true of human nature, what is true of our relationships with the ultimate source of life, and what is true of our relationships with one another. What is true of human nature? That we are promise-making, promise-breaking, and promise-renewing creatures. That's what Martin Buber says. It is in our nature as human beings to make promises and to make commitments. And so when we resist making promises to each other or making commitments, what we're doing is resisting being fully human. What is true of our relationship with the ultimate source of life? That our primary covenant is with that sustaining, transformative power not made with human hands. That is our primary relationship. And when we forget this, we start thinking that we are self-made. When we forget this, then hubris sets in, and we forget that we have come from somewhere and from someone. What is true about our relationships with one another? That we are inherently interconnected. Yes, of course, we are individual people, and we are inescapably bound to one another. And when we deny this network of mutuality, and we deny it all the time, when we deny this, then we deny our responsibility for anything beyond our individual actions. But the truth is, we are responsible. We are responsible, not only for our personal behavior, but also we are responsible for the character of our society. And we are responsible for the health of our Mother Earth. Entering into covenant is such an important part of who we are as members of congregations. So when the president of our association, Peter Morales, started talking about the future of our faith beyond congregations, outside of congregations, I really started to wonder, how is this going to impact our covenant-making practice? You know, back in the early days of our history, everyone was a member of a church because you lived in a parish, and every member of that community belonged to that single parish, that single congregation. But these days, fewer people are joining churches and fewer people are attending worship services. But you know what? This doesn't mean that there are fewer Unitarian Universalists. In fact, for every one of you who is a member of this congregation, there are three other people who claim that they are Unitarian Universalists, but will never, ever join this church. Do you know that the largest gathering of UUs in the country, second to General Assembly, is SUSI? Have you been to SUSI? I'm going for the first time ever. It's right here in Virginia. It's held every summer on the campus of Radford University. It is the second largest gathering of UUs in the country. Most of those people are not members of a congregation, but they claim UU values. They align themselves with UU principles. And our largest congregation, 3,000 members, has no building. The Church of the Larger Fellowship has a virtual chalice. They light a virtual chalice, and they have worship online. In response to all of these changes in the religious landscape, President Morales suggests that we focus less on attracting members and more on making connections. Instead of asking how many members we have this year and how many members joined last year and how many members will join next year, he asks that we pay attention to how many lives we touched, how many lives we are helping, and what difference we are making in the world. Instead of inviting people to join our congregation as members, invite people to join a movement. This is our movement, standing on the side of love, resisting oppression in all forms. That's our movement. Join the church, don't join the church. It's not that important anymore. What is important is to join the movement of people going into an envisioned future. Fewer and fewer people are going to be interested in traditional religion. They're just not going to come to Sunday morning worship. There's a lot of evidence to support this trend. But you know what will always be the same? People will still want to connect with other people. People will still need others to listen to their stories. People will still need a way to join forces with others to move the world to greater love. People will still want to walk the path with others to find a deeper spiritual life. Congregations all over the country are responding to these changing needs. Some are gathering spiritual groups in bars and bowling alleys and theaters and coffee shops. There's one in Oakland, California called the Beloved Cafe. It was started out by a bunch of young adults who grew up as UUs but had no interest in joining their parents' church. And so Beloved Community was born. Beloved Community is part coffee shop, part community center. It's classroom space for yoga and meditation. There's a bookstore. It's a place to organize for social justice, and it is a sanctuary. And in North Carolina, a little closer to home, there's an emerging group called Mutual Aid Carborough. Mutual Aid, Carborough, North Carolina. They call themselves a missional community on the forefront of exploring new pathways for those who are unchurched and will remain unchurched. even though they're not a congregation in the traditional sense, they have found strength in the practice of covenant making. Promise keeping and commitment making is at the heart of their mutual aid community. Through meaningful covenantal relationships, they pledge to support one another and to manifest UU values in the world. You probably won't be surprised that members of the Mutual Aid Carborough are young adults. They are young adults who have no interest in joining any of the many wonderful congregations in North Carolina. They're not interested in church as we have done it, but they are interested in covenanted community. They are interested in making promises to one another and making commitments to something larger than themselves. Covenanted congregations may have been the foundation of the free church, but in this new church-free era, the practice of entering into covenants becomes even more important. Without the structure of institutional church, it is the covenant we enter, and it's the covenant that will connect us to new communities. It is the covenant that will connect us to our shared history, reminding us where we came from, who we are, and where we are going. Covenant is not a matter of just doing the right thing. It's not a matter of doing, it's a matter of being. It's a matter of being the person you were born to be, being in relationship, being connected, and being fully human together. And when we fail, because we're human beings, we will fail. When we fail, covenant offers forgiveness, redemption, and a love that will not let us go. And so, let us covenant with one another to keep faith with the source of love and life, knowing that we are not our own. Let us covenant with one another to remember that life can be saved even by small bands of people choosing to put into practice an alternative way of living. Let us covenant with each other to seek a deeper awareness of the universal love that has never broken faith with us and never will. May it be so. Amen.